We are talking with Mrs. Avis Dudley of Mapleton, Maine. Now, Mrs. Dudley, where were you born, please?
I was born on the Old State Road in Castle Hill.
Castle Hill. And did you go to a school in Castle Hill first?
Yes, I did. My first school teacher was Augusta Christie. I very well remember her. I couldn't remember her name, but I did remember what she wore, which was a beautiful purple dress with a nipped-in waist, plaid skirt to the floor, leg and mutton sleeves, and those long, slim cuffs. She was just truly beautiful, sitting behind her desk in it.
Yes, and how large a school was it, Mrs. Dudley?
It was about, I would say, about 20 or 25.
20 or 25 pupils and probably all 8 grades.
Yes, it was all
8 grades. A typical country school.
Right.
And you went to school there until you were in probably the second or third grade?
I must have been about third grade when my father passed away, and after that I didn't go there to school anymore.
Where did you go to school then?
In Mapleton, in the old mill school, what is now the town garage in Mapleton.
I see. And is that before Mapleton was called Mapleton?
No, Mapleton had been incorporated into a town many years before that, probably.
I see.
It used to be Ball's Mills.
I see.
And derived the name from Mr. Ball, who had a sawmill in Mapleton.
And then it was incorporated and became Mapleton.
And the reason it was called Mapleton was because it was surrounded, the valley was surrounded by hardwood ridges, which were mostly maple trees.
I see, and that's why we had the mill.
Right.
Now, was the school in Mapleton was still a one-room schoolhouse?
Yes,
with
it was.
All grades?
Right.
Was it a little larger than the one you've gone to in Castle Hill?
It probably was anywhere from 40 to 45 pupils.
And one teacher.
One teacher.
8 grades.
Now, they used to have 9 grades then, you know.
Oh, 9 grades.
Right, way back.
Well, they had long, busy days, too.
Didn't they?
Now, there was a fire in Mapleton at one time. Can you tell us anything about that? Do you remember anything about that? I remember hearing about it, perhaps.
Back in 1903, in June, a man out on Hughes Road by the name of Jamie Carter, they set their chopping afire, and it was hot, dry weather. And before they knew it, Hughes Road, practically every house on the road was burning up. And the old-timers say that the shingles on fire would fly for long distances through the air and light on another roof and ignite that.
And so that destroyed quite a bit of what was at that time Mapleton.
That destroyed practically every house on the Hughes Road. And then it jumped across the stream into Mapleton and burned the what used to be the old David Dudley store, where in fact it kind of has a little history hitch to it, since Mr. Cullen stole a pair of boots from the David Dudley store, and they tracked him by his big feet in the new snow. And He went in to Swanback Opening to get away from everybody, and the sheriffs from Prescott, one was Mr. Hayden, went in after him, and during the night while they were sleeping, he killed Mr. Hayden and the other sheriff. And Minot Bird and another man were with him, and he was standing with the axe over Mr. Bird's head when he waked up. And he begged off. And Mr. Cullen said that if he would carry the wood to burn the camp they were in, he would spare his life. So each time when he went out for wood, he would go a little farther away and a little farther away. And finally, on his last trip, he took Mr. Cullen's snowshoes so that he wouldn't be able to follow Mr. Bird. And then he came out to the town and spread the news and alarmed the citizens, and they really got busy.
This was the famous murders of Mapleton that we hear so much about in the lynching then.
Yes, it was. So when the law came and took Mr. Cullen from his home where he hid when he got back from Swanback, and they started to Prescott with him and got down over the first hill by Ray Higgins's, and they were met there by a posse who took Mr. Cullen and dragged him over on the south side of the road and lynched him. And then they cut him down and took him somewhere and buried him.
I see. There are many stories, of course, many different versions of that murder and lynching. One, did you hear the one about where some scientists wanted to examine his skull?
Yes, I did. And so they dug up the grave and took the skull with them.
I see. And now, this was Mr. Cullen. What was his first name? Do you remember? I don't think I've ever heard his first name.
I don't know what his first name was.
Was it James Cullen?
James Cullen.
And you mean that this murder, these two murders, there were two murders, weren't there?
Yes, there were.
And a lynching, all derived from stealing a pair of boots.
Yes, that's the ironical part of it.
Yes.
To think so much grief from the one pair of boots being
stolen. The price
stolen.
Of a pair of boots.
Right.
I had heard, of course, we've heard many versions of this, but I never knew what started the whole thing. I never knew what he did first. To have the law after him. No, I never did.
They never would have known who did it if it hadn't have been that his feet were unusually large and they followed his tracks in the snow.
Well, and caught up with him. Now, back in your first memories of living in Mapleton, I'm sure there are many highlights that you remember. Can you remember, I suppose, the first part of your life here? Everything was horses, going by horse, buggy, and so forth. Do you remember the first automobile you ever saw?
Yes, I do. Tom Fair in Prescott, who was one of the wealthiest men in Prescott at that time, had a red touring car with a chauffeur. And when he would go by our schoolhouse, the teacher would let us climb up on our seats and go to the windows and one thing another to see that car go by.
It was probably a large car.
Yes, it was a large touring car.
Now, your social life in Mapleton at that time was probably the same as it was in many small towns. You had your lodges, which were very important then. What lodges did they have in Mapleton that you remember?
Well, at first they had the Grange, which was very active all through the years. In fact, the Grange continued active until just recently. It's just been the last 3-4 years that it hasn't been. And they also had, of course, their churches and their ladies' aides that were in connection with the church work. And they had the Order of Woodmans, who built a hall, which is was where the Willard Doyne potato houses are now. And that was quite a social spot for a while.
This is where you had your
amusement
your
spot.
Social activities. Now, what did you do for recreation in those days?
Well, the Grange, even the Grange, they used to put on plays, and they'd have David Hume, who was an old-time fiddler, and Martella Clifford, who used to play the organ or piano, whichever it was, and David would say, "Sandre Martella," and they would play the music, and people would dance and have a real ball.
You had socials and dancing,
right? And they used to, to raise money, they would decide to get up a box social and sell the women's boxes. And they'd always hope they didn't get someone they didn't want to eat with.
Of course not.
And raise the money for various civic affairs. And one in which they had dinners or suppers, and our box socials, they raised the money to build a sidewalk, which was made of wooden boards. And I'm sure the high heels they've had in recent years, they couldn't walk on them because their heels would get caught in holes.
In the cracks.
In the cracks of boards.
Now, did you have those through most of the town, the main street of the town?
It started out by Orrin Higgins's. And went up the other way to the Methodist Church, which was a little more than a half a mile.
On one side of the street.
On one side of the street.
For walking. Now, did you have movies in Mapleton?
Yes, we did at the old Woodman Hall. And they also, in the old Woodman Hall, had roller skating. Which was something different.
Now, you did travel mostly, most people traveled at least, by horse and buggy, and the roads in those days, of course, were quite different than they are now. Can you tell us something about the winter roads?
Well, in the wintertime, they used to plow the roads and then roll them to roll the banks down. And this was the snow road for the winter travel. And of course, the nearer you got to Prescott, the less snow there was on it, because it was traveled that much more. And in the spring of the year, those snow roads, the horses would slump, you know, down a foot or two. In fact, they'd go down to their belly. And while it was thawing in the spring of the year,
it would be soft under it.
Yes, it would.
Now, would it be hard to get the horses up again?
Well, they would, it's amazing how
they
a horse
could recover.
Will bring themselves up once they've slumped. Dr. Dover used to tell about the horse he had that would pick her way. And he said that she would, when it was real slumpy like that, she would pick her way, he said, better, much better than a person could guide her.
Very interesting. Now, and everyone, there were livery stables in almost every town. Is that right?
Yes, there were. And the people from the country would drive in with their horses. And in the wintertime, when they had their soapstones, the livery man would put up the team and put the soapstones on to heat. And when the person got ready to go home, he would have their horse and buggy already, or sleigh, with the hot soapstones to keep them warm.
It was a real service,
wasn't it?
I've heard a lot about livery stables. That seems to be a very interesting item in the history of the early days here. The livery stables played a very important part. I think we had two in Presque Isle.
Yes, I'm sure you did. You had one at Ladner's, and one, I think the name was up by the town clock, in fact, where George,
the State Theater used to be.
Yes,
right along there.
Right.
And the other one was down by the McLaughlin lot, down with the, on North Main Street, we call it.
Yes, well, then there were three, because Ladner's was just at the mouth of McKemmick Street.
Oh, that's one we haven't had mentioned before.
Yes.
So there were three of the stables.
Right.
All giving good service. Now, did you ever, there was a lot of lumbering in Presque Isle, I understand. Did you ever visit a lumber camp? Or did you ever have any contact with lumbering?
Yes, Reed Lentis took his wife and daughter Dorothy and I in to his lumber camp in Chapman, in by Hedgehog Mountain. And he got a double hitch of a two-seated pung from the livery stable to go with. And they even furnished the fur coats for us to wear. And when we got in the woods, one thing that was very noticeable was how much warmer it was. It was a cold, windy day as we were driving in. But when you got in the woods and the sun beat down, you couldn't believe that it was that cold. And then when it came noon, we ate dinner with the woodsmen at their table out of tin plates and tin dippers. And we had one of the traditional things we had was baked beans and loads of apple pies, I remember.
And it was good.
And mince pies.
And mince pies.
And it was really good.
The food is notoriously good.
Yes, it is.
From lumber camps. Now, do you suppose those beans were beano beans?
Oh, I doubt if they were. And yet again, they may have been.
If not,
he baked them himself anyway, yes. Because he wouldn't be able to buy
no,
any.
Indeed. Then, you, Mrs. Dudley, you've lived here all your life. You became a farmer's wife. You lived right here on this farm, right?
Right.
How long did you live on, did you farm?
We were married in 1918, and we farmed until about 3 years after my husband passed away. And it was about 1960 when we stopped farming.
But you still remained here in the home?
Yes. When we sold the land, I kept my house with a large lot.
Yes. Now, Mrs. Dudley, you have had over the years, you have a family of four who are now grown up and moved away. That's part of being a farmer's wife. You raised your children. And through the Depression years, tell us a little bit about the life of a potato farmer, not only through the Depression years, but through the good years, too.
Well, you know, now and then, a potato farmer, I suppose the thing that gives them the incentive when the years are bad, to keep him going is that now and then you'd get a big year when perhaps in the spring of the year you'd get $8 or $10 a barrel for your potatoes. And you'd have your good years and then you'd have your bad years. But the worst thing that hit Aroostook County farmers was in about 1936 or 7 when potatoes were 30 cents a barrel and didn't go much higher all winter. My husband grew certified seed, which had a good premium in those days, and so he got more per barrel than the average. But in the spring of the year, along about this time, about the 1st of May, Mr. Pitcher, who bought potatoes over to Caribou, asked him if he would load 15 carloads of potatoes for him. And he did, and Mr. Pitcher paid 25 cents a barrel for those potatoes.
Then you've seen the price of potatoes go from 25 cents a barrel to $10 and more, probably.
Yes, They have gone higher than 10. In fact, one time I remember my husband loading three cars of potatoes for about $12 a barrel. And that was what he had left. And and so the price, those good years, offset the ones that you didn't make both ends meet.
Your 25 cents.
Right.
When the potatoes were 25 cents a barrel, how did that compare with the prices of other things that you would have? I know that the farmer always ate well because they raised what they had. But you would have to buy clothing and other things for the home. Now, how did 25 cents a barrel potatoes compare with the other prices?
Well, back in the year when they were so low, I had to buy union suits for the children. So I handed the ones from the older ones down to the smaller ones and bought one union suit, because the price of a union suit was about the equivalent of 12 barrels of potatoes. And at that price. And since the children had to walk to school, which was a distance of a mile, I always had the union suits with wool in them to keep them comfortable.
And it took 12 barrels of potatoes to buy one union suit.
Right.
So the prices of potatoes were not consistent with the price of other things.
Well, actually, they aren't now either.
Well, I guess you're right.
Everything else has gone up, but the price of potatoes has gone down. In fact, the price of potatoes now, compared with everything else, I've heard people say, was even worse this last 2 years than it was back on 30 cent potatoes.
Comparatively.
That
is pretty discouraging for the most
part. Yes, it
is. Now, you rented land yourself, and then you have now a new business of your own, Mrs. Dudley, which we want to talk about, and a very successful one, in a restaurant here in your home, which is known, I think, throughout Central Elizabeth, if not farther. How did you happen to do this?
Well, in the first place, the Mapleton Lines wanted to know if I would, if they could meet here and I would prepare a dinner for them twice a month. And I said I'd try, and if they liked it, we'd do it. So that was in November, and when it came the next Mother's Day in May, I had some, in fact, 18 guests that wanted to come for Mother's Day. And then in June, Skyway school teachers wanted to have a banquet for one of the teachers that was leaving. And they asked me if I would like to do it, and I said I would. So with that beginning, I have gradually grown in numbers until the last 4 years has been 11,000 dinner guests a year.
That's a good business.
And you mentioned that I must be known statewide. I've had dinner guests from all over the world, practically.
I'm sure you have.
When they sign my guest book, you'll see them from Egypt and Venezuela and Peru and Fiji Islands and Arabia and India and all around.
Very interesting.
And besides all the states and so forth.
Now about what year did you start your restaurant?
I think it was about 8 years ago.
Yes. I know that you've had many, many successful group dinners here. People who always want to come back, as well as people who come just for dinner, haven't you?
I have.
You've entertained many ladies' groups that I know of, special things. us, and men too. The men always want to come back too.
The first summer I was doing this, I didn't have hardly a man all summer. And finally a man came with his wife one Sunday, and eventually I worked in to where part of the time you will have, lots of times, you will have nearly all men.
Yes.
That are up here from various parts of the state and so forth, for one thing or another.
And they've come once, and they're always going to come back again.
Right.
Now, the name of your restaurant is?
Dudley Homestead.
Dudley Homestead. And certainly, we wish you many, many more years of success, which I'm sure you're going to have. Are there any other highlights you'd like to mention that you remember about Mapleton?
I don't think of so many. When I think back in the horse and buggy days, I think of the time, the first time I ever went to an automobile fair. 13 of us went on a jigger wagon. And if you know what a jigger wagon is, it's what they used to haul barrels of potatoes
on. It's a flat wagon, isn't
yes, it? Yes,
it is. Flat with big wheels.
With big wheels and no springs. And we took our picnic dinner with us, and thinking back, the old-timers sometimes were superstitious, and they said, my, there's 13 of us. Someone surely will die before the year ends. And so, anyhow, the next year, I went there on the day the year was up. And everybody was still living, and I thought probably I wouldn't be after that day, but I'm still here.
Nobody felt obligated to die just to make it come true.
No, they didn't.
Well, the Northern Maine Fair has, of course, been foremost in most of in our history here. Everyone remembers the Northern Maine Fair in Aroostook County. I don't know how many years exactly it's been going on, but it's been a highlight in many people's lives. It must have gone on for, what, 50 years
well,
or more?
More than that. Because
there was an interruption.
That would be, let's see, there was an interruption during the war, but the Northern Maine Fair must be at
100.
Least 65.
Yes, I think perhaps 100.
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Yes, since it first started.
And you know, way back, years ago, people used to buy their new fall outfit and wear it to the Northern Maine Fair, and all the mud after it rained.
I was going to say, they'd have to be durable.
And they really used it all up to go to fair.
Is that so?
And now they go in their dungarees and such.
And they used to tent, families used to tent at the fair, didn't they?
Yes, they did. One time, Pinellas was down to the fair in Bangor, and he was walking down through the tent section, and he heard a woman screaming for help. So he just thought he'd look in, and come to find out, it was one of our Castle Hill citizens beating up his wife. and he felt right home.
Yes, right at home.
Right home.
Do you think he went to Bangor to beat his wife, or did he do it at home too?
He probably did it also did it at home.
Well, we have been talking with Mrs. Avis Dudley of Dudley Homestead Restaurant in Mapleton, Maine.